Greetings. Welcome to the first ever recording for Fugacious Follies. This is an outlet for the thoughts, sights, and sounds that I'll be collecting along my hike. I'm Chris Lansky, and I'm currently in Istanbul. I'm just about ready to start my hike from Istanbul to Portugal, so I've been quickly editing a few early interviews I made with my folks. I hope they can excuse the quality of these first recordings. I'm still getting used to editing as well as conducting interviews. If you happen to hear a moan in the background, it's nothing to be alarmed over. Dr. Carell's mother is in the last stage of her life, and she's actively dying, so she may end up departing for her biggest journey yet right by the time that I leave for my own. I arrived in Istanbul safely last week, and was quickly introduced to the city's traffic. Istanbul, the city of Istanbul, is humongous. It's the seventh largest city in the world, and when you travel by bus, you can feel it. You don't really feel the rush like you would in a New York City. You're not as confined. Instead, you just feel the grand scale of it all, as you would if you were traveling through Los Angeles. My couch-surfing host, Dr. Orhan Karel, was kind enough to open up his home and has shown me my first taste of Turkish hospitality. Since I've stayed in Dr. Karel's home, I've been able to enjoy several Turkish vegetarian dishes, cuddle several cats, explore the inside of a Turkish television studio, as well as repay the favor by helping edit the English version of Dr. Carell's pamphlet. It's not a pamphlet that I particularly find interesting, but it's the first published piece of work that has my name in it, so that's pretty neat. Unfortunately, I've not been able to actually interview Dr. Carell. He's an incredibly busy man. He usually leaves the house as soon as he wakes up, which is around 9 in the morning. He doesn't finish his work until around midnight. At that point in time, he would just like to unwind and watch some Turkish television, so I leave him be. So far, I haven't spoken much about my trip to anyone in Istanbul. I brought it up to the doctor, and he immediately tried to convince me not to leave from Istanbul, and instead leave from a town closer to the Bulgarian border. His assistant said the same thing. "I'll be killed," they said. "Turkey's a very dangerous place." I don't know how true this statement is. From what I've researched online, the stretch of Turkey that I'll be walking along doesn't seem to be any more dangerous than any other highway in any other country in the world. Sure, there are cases of people being kidnapped, some killed, and some raped, but that's true about anywhere else. So far, I've found several stories of these types of incidences happening to tourists, but these also occurred over a period of years rather than a period of weeks. So I feel like I should be fine. Hitchhiking is also extremely popular, as well as being legal in Turkey. So chances are, people will end up stopping for me believing that I'll be a hitchhiker, and will be surprised to know that I'll be hiking, thereby leaving me alone. As long as I stick to traveling by day and hiding away by night, I should be fine. Tomorrow I'll be leaving for another host. I'll be staying with him for one night. I'll make an attempt to interview him and record him, just to try and get an idea of what it's like to live in Istanbul in this day and age, but I can't make any promises. My current planned departure date is going to be Thursday, May 5th, 2016. Right now, my job is to try and find some kind of transportation that can take me to the very edge of the city, Istanbul. Once I do that, I can then start hiking along the highways and make my way to the next city, Arnavutköy. Unfortunately, because Istanbul is so huge, it's going to be rather difficult to actually get to the edge. But I have some GPS coordinates, so I believe that I should be fine. Once I make it to Arnavutköy, I will then begin my way along the Black Sea coastline. From there, I'll walk to the coast of Kiyokoi, a small beach tourist town area, and then begin to cut to the border town Dedekoi. From Dedekoi, I will then cross into Bulgaria. And by the time I cross through Bulgaria, I'll finally finish the riskiest part of my trip. For this first recording, I have two short interviews lined up. The first interview was with my ma the night before she left for Oregon, and the second interview is with my pa and my cousin during my last night in the United States. I did both of these interviews with a smartphone, so the recordings aren't of the best quality. And, to make it worse, I did these in less than ideal sonic conditions, so there will be a little bit of background noise, probably just like the recording you're hearing right now. Hopefully in the future I will be a little bit more proficient at interviewing as well as recording, but we'll have to wait and see. How do you feel about leaving several days before I leave?
Yeah, it's hard. It's hard. I'm excited for you. I think the journey is going to be a really fabulous trip. As a mother, I just have other concerns and worries.
Would you mind going into those concerns and worries?
Well, you have to go to the dark side in order to accept the brilliance of the journey.
What is that dark side and what will that look like?
Whatever can happen. Get robbed, stolen. I mean, the worst case scenario is you don't make it.
This might be the last time we ever see each other, Ma.
I know.
It's a little weird, isn't it? Because I've said goodbye to you before, several times. Back in college, you drove me to and dropped me off at school. Back when I was moving to Colombia, you said goodbye to me, and this one felt a little bit different. Would you like to talk about that a little bit?
I miss you. It's not like I want you to live here forever, never, never again, because that's not what we do, but I'm concerned about your trip. I'm concerned about when you're alone for a long period of time and what that's gonna look like for you.
What's that gonna look like, or what do you think it's gonna look like?
I don't know. I've never spent that much time alone, so. But it's your journey, it's not mine. I have to respect that.
Would you like to stop me in my journey in some ways? Would you?
No, because it's not mine. It's not my job to stop you. It's not. It's your journey, and it's your path. And whatever road you choose, it's what you choose to do.
Could you see yourself doing this kind of thing at some point?
No, not really. No, not really.
No.
Give me the hotel. At one point, I did it, so I know what it's like, and no, I don't want to do it again.
What did you do, and what was that like?
Travel through Europe with a sheet and sleeping in fields. And it was fun for a little bit, but...
Were you traveling with anyone?
Yeah. Traveled with my friend Lori Gwynn.
And how old were you when you traveled?
I was in college, so must have been 20. We traveled across Europe, spent a semester in Spain, and traveled all over the place, hitchhiked, and did a bunch of stuff.
Did you really feel concerned at that point? Did you ever find yourself in a position where you were worried about your safety or Lori's safety?
Never. But it's different in the journey that you're taking.
How so?
I guess the protection of two. There's power in numbers. And I guess being solo and you're in countries that you don't really understand the languages, it gets to be a bit of a challenge. Here's what I believe in you, though, Chris, is that you're able to communicate easily and you can cross language barriers easily with that.
So basically, I can play charades very well.
Yep. I worry about your loneliness. Because when you're traveling like that, you will be lonely. And I wonder how you're going to handle that loneliness. You know, it's one thing when you have friends and when you have people that you know all the time and that support you. It's a whole different thing when you're traveling for 13 days alone and you're in your head. And from past experience, sometimes your head goes down, it goes depressing, and so that concerns me. And I think that's the hardest part. It's not so much people that you're gonna meet, it's not all the horrors that you could walk through. I think it's your own mindset and what that looks like. And I guess I've been around you enough to understand how your mind works, and not in your head, but being alone for long periods of time might be a challenge. So that's my concern.
Really excited for you, Chris, because you're going to have a fantastic adventure journey, and a little bit jealous because I'd love to be able to be doing something like that myself. Fears, yeah, you know, you're a parent, you're going to have fears, but nothing that can't be overcome. I know you've got the ability to handle it all. The traditional things, if you're going to be wandering through the remote areas in all these different foreign countries with all the different types of people that you may encounter. You know, I'm not too worried about the wild boar. Since you got the slingshot, you're more than capable of fending up the wild animals, but it's always people. People are the biggest issue.
And Miko, same questions. What are your thoughts?
It's a pretty amazing trip. You're going to finally find yourself. You're going to have a lot of time to think to yourself and actually get your thoughts together. No fears. I'm just really proud of you, and I just hope you finish it.
You've been listening to Fugacious Follies with me, Chris Lemansky. Be sure to check out the rest of the website, where I'll be posting written pieces, thoughts, pictures, and other sounds. So, if you dig this kind of project, be sure to subscribe to the emailing list and you'll be notified whenever I make an update. You can also find a link on the homepage to a digital map to see where I am in the world. You can even send me a message while I'm out in the woods. Thanks again for listening. I really, really appreciate it. Bye.